I'd like for you to take up your outline for the continuing series on the greatest gift in all this world that keeps on giving. That gift, of course, you know, and I pray that you know it personally as your Lord and Savior, that gift is Jesus Christ. But in both of us, Jesus Christ, that God continues to give the many gifts of His grace, that we see the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of the Son Jesus Christ, not only for our salvation, but also for our living, and all the grace gifts that He gives us. We've looked at the gift of forgiveness. Oh, how important that is for all of our hearts to be free. I have it on. Oh, I don't have it here. Great. You know, I'm surprised you weren't hearing my heartbeat. Yeah.
Well, I keep telling you, I've got a good forgetter. My forgetter is getting better than yours. We looked at the gift through Christ Jesus. God's ultimate gift, His Son, Jesus Christ. The gift of forgiveness. And now all of us have just experienced and continue to experience the work of that grace gift of forgiveness. The forgiveness that God gives us because of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and His finished work. But also the ability, by God's grace in Christ Jesus, that we can forgive others. And that means we can be forgiven by others. We also look at peace. Now we're looking at the gift of prayer. If you take out your outline before you, prayer is one of those great gifts. Now there are many, many gifts that we do have. But clearly it says when Jesus Christ ascended on high, He took captives with Him, those whom He had saved and delivered from Satan, from sin, and its penalty, from eternal death. And He gave gifts to men and women. One of those gifts that we're looking at this morning, as you see in your outline before you, the gift of prayer. Prayer is so much more than just asking and receiving, but sometimes we get into that mode, don't we? We all do. But we need to be reminded again through God's Word and the work of His Holy Spirit that this gift of prayer through Jesus Christ is so much more than just asking and receiving. And as you see in the beginning paragraph, prayer is communing with, it's fellowshipping with, it's being in step with, it's coming to know God and His will more fully, and participating in the work and the advancement of this kingdom on earth for His glory. That's what prayer is. And that's why only God and His Son Jesus Christ can give us that supernatural gift that has such a great effect, if you will, in God's sovereign will and working such a great effect here in this world that you and I live in. Not in just the world of things, but more importantly in the world of people. Your loved ones, my loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. The great importance of this gift, the gift of prayer. For God's glory and for His kingdom. Notice, if you will, part of it, if we unpackage this gift of prayer, let's take a look, if you will. One of the aspects is that you and I can pray in His name. Now, the Old Testament saints, they prayed. They had biblical instructions too, and they had also the instructions from the priests. There in the tabernacle and in the temple also. They also had scripture about prayer. They had the book of Psalms. And that was, if you will, a book of Psalms, but it was also a book of prayers. So they did pray. But they did not pray in the name of Jesus. They prayed on the basis of the sacrifices they brought to the tabernacle, or later on brought to the temple, knowing that those were only temporary. But the finished and permanent and perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, who is now the basis for your prayers and for my prayers. The gift of prayer is so important that we can pray in His name. Take a look at some of the verses we have there that Jesus is teaching us and exhorting us to pray in His name. John 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Again, John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. And again in John 16, in that day, You ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. That's a new dispensation, a new age of grace that you and I are part of because of Jesus Christ. And we can pray in his name and ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Again, John 16. In that day you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I know some people have stumbled over that verse, or if you will, those two verses where it says that I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Well, isn't Jesus making intercession? Well, what are you saying here in this context? You and I do not come as beggars, as slaves, as one who grovels, if you will, before the throne of grace and say, Lord, we need this. Please, please, please give us this. We don't come as beggars. We don't come as slaves before the Master and hoping that somehow the Son of the Master, Jesus Christ, will pray on our behalf. No. What he's saying in this context, you and I, because of our faith and belief in our love for Jesus Christ, the Father loves us as his sons and daughters, not as slaves, not as beggars. And so we come, yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, because we have identity, salvation, and access before a holy, just, and righteous God. Aren't you glad? I sure am. We can pray. We can pray in his name. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? You know, you have a lot of people say, well, you kind of tack it on at the end of it. It's sort of like a P.S. Lord, this is my request, this is my supplication, and oh, by the way, Heavenly Father, P.S. in the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes you pray that prayer. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus Christ for you? For us in the church family? Well, I can tell you a couple of things that it doesn't mean. That unfortunately some Christians, some professing believers believe that this is what it means, but it doesn't mean this. Take a look at your outline before you. It is not a formal P.S. that we tack on to the end of our prayers. Not that it's wrong to pray at the end of our prayers and give an amen by saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we ask these things. That's not wrong. But if that's the only understanding that we have to have like a hashtag, if you will, at the end of our prayer in Jesus' name, then we're missing the whole point of praying in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not a magic word. It's not to make our prayers more effective. And it's not a mantra that we say, okay, now I've said it. Now God has got to answer that. That's not what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Then what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? That you and I have that privilege, that grace, that gift to pray in his name every day and throughout the day. Take a look. Praying in the name of Jesus is praying with understanding and acknowledgement of who Christ is. He is the very Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is the one who has promised, the promised Messiah, who came in the flesh, born there, conceived in the Virgin, and born in Bethlehem, who lived a sinless and perfect life. When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with understanding and acknowledgement of who Jesus is. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just another prophet. He's not just a good example. He's the very Son of God. We're also praying with understanding and knowledge and acknowledging, if you will, of what he has done. He died for our sins and for the sins of the world. He rose again triumphantly and with victory over sin, over death, and over Satan. And when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just with an understanding and knowledge of what he's doing right now and what he will do. That's part of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not just a hashtag. It's not just a PS. But there's something else also. Take a look. Praying is also praying with faith and commitment to him as our Savior and Lord. All for all of life. For all of life. You know, sometimes, we, even as Christians, sometimes we begin to compartmentalize. We say, well, here's my religious part of my life, my church-going part of my life, my Bible-reading part of my life, my praying part of my life, and now here's the other part of my life, too. My work, my home, my marriage, my fun, my entertainment. And sometimes we can so compartmentalize our life. But praying in the name of Jesus Christ is also saying that, Lord Jesus, I'm committed that every part of my life, you're in it. Every part of my life, no part of my life is excluded from you. So when I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my prayers must invade every part of my life. Every part of your life. Because that's what Jesus is. And so when you and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we're praying with that faith, that trust, that commitment that He's my Savior and the Lord of all my life. Not just parts. Praying in the name of Jesus also is acknowledging that our access to the throne of God is through Jesus Christ alone. There in the Old Testament, they had all the various sacrifices, they had all the various feast days to come before God, there in the tabernacle, there in the temple, but only one day out of the year, one of their representatives, called their high priest, could go into the very throne room of God in the tabernacle, in the temple called the Holy of Holies. Only one day. Only he had access. No one else. But when you and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're acknowledging that you and I can go before the throne of grace anytime, anywhere, concerning anything, because He cares that we have access and acceptance, and our Father says, welcome. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ is also seeking His will and glory in the answers to our requests. That's also what it means to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's not just a PS. It's not just a little tack on at the end, but it's so much more. It's so much more for your life, for my life, for your marriage, for my marriage. It's so much more for our family. It's so much more for our church family. It's so much more for those who we bring into that, if you will, into that encompassment of our prayer life. Lord Jesus, in your name I pray for my son, for his salvation. In your name I pray for my granddaughter. In your name, Lord Jesus, because I know I have access before the throne of grace. And a holy God who I can call my Father, Abba, because of you, Lord Jesus. Praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is also submitting our request to His will and sovereign authority. Lord, your will be done on earth. Your will be done in my son's life, my granddaughter's life. Your will be done in my church family's life. Your will be done in my neighbor's life. Lord, your will be done in my marriage as it is in heaven. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ is also submitting God's sovereignty. Praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking the advancement of His kingdom and His glory as an outcome of our requests. You know, when He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We do that also in our prayer life. Amen? Have you prayed? Have you been praying about the kingdom of God in your heart, in your life? Have you been praying about the kingdom of God in the lives of your children? Have you? You see, it is praying in the name of Jesus. It's so much more than just a hashtag. It's so much more than just a PS that we put just before we say amen. It means, Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I want your glory to be seen and to be experienced in all of life. To pray in Christ's name is to seek what He seeks, to participate, and to promote what is on His heart. Do you know that our marriages are on His heart? Do you know that our families are on His heart? Do you know that our children are on His heart? Do you know that our church family are on His heart? And so when you and I pray in that wonderful and powerful, strong name of Jesus, our hearts are renewed. Our hearts are instead. Our prayers are in His heart.
Praying in the name of Jesus. Do you remember that passage in Acts chapter 19? There in Ephesus, Paul was there along with his missionary team. And things were really happening. People were hearing the gospel, some for the first time. Some had already put their faith in Jesus Christ in the very initial part of the ministry. But then you had, it's a little parable, a little story that's told by Luke in chapter 19 that happened there in Ephesus. And it's about seven sons of Sceva. Sceva happened to be the high priest at that time of the Jewish people, of the Jewish religion. And the seven sons of Sceva, well, they happened to be there, apparently in Ephesus, and they were casting out demons. And so, of course, they were hearing Paul's proclamation of Jesus Christ. They were hearing Paul's prayers in the name of Jesus. And so they go, oh, this sounds pretty good. This is great. And so they started, and they began to try to cast out demons. And they would say this, I adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Come out of that person. Well, that sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? Well, what happened? The evil spirit says, you know something? I know Jesus. And I recognize Paul. But who are you? When you and I pray in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father will never say, I know my son Jesus. But who are you? You see, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that wonderful privilege. We have that wonderful privilege of praying the fearless, the matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And knowing in all of heaven, for you as a child of God, no one in all of heaven will ever say, I know Jesus, but who are you? Never. When we have and unpack this wonderful gift of prayer, we can pray in the Spirit. I mean the Holy Spirit, because that's what God means in His Word. And take a look, if you will. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace and supplication. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. But notice, if you will, that beginning phrase, pray at all times in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that's why the Spirit in this English translation has a capital S. You refer to the Holy Spirit. We see that not only grammatically in the capital S, but we also see it contextually in that context. And then again, in Romans chapter 8, take a look. And likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses all the time, okay? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then again in Jude 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the what? The Holy Spirit. You see, because you and I are in Christ as our Savior and our Lord, not only do we have the privilege and the God-given right in Christ to pray in His name, but we also have the privilege and the right as a child of God to pray in the Spirit at all times. Not just special times, but just all times with all supplication. Pray in the Spirit. What does praying in the Holy Spirit mean? I can tell you, first of all, what it does mean. And there again, just like praying in the name of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of people, a lot of conjecture, a lot of, if you will, self-thoughts about what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit.
But I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean praying in tongues. It doesn't mean praying in a trance. It doesn't mean praying out of control. It doesn't mean praying mindless prayers. Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians 14, incidentally. He says, I want to pray with my mind. I want to pray with understanding. So praying in the Spirit doesn't mean all of you can be out of control or in a trance or some ecstatic emotional experience that all of a sudden I'm praying in some unknown tongue. But it doesn't mean that. And it doesn't. What does praying in the Spirit mean to you? What does praying in the Spirit mean from God? Take a look. As we are praying in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit searches our hearts when we come to God in prayer. Why is that so important? That's a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life and the life of the church family. That when you and I are praying in the Holy Spirit, He searches our hearts and reveals to us and convicts us of those things that we can confess first, that we can have a clear heart before God our Father. And it shows us the things that we need to also be right with others. That's so important in our prayer life. And the Holy Spirit does that. He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, He guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us in our prayers according to God's Word and according to His will. See, not every situation, not every circumstance that you and I go through or enter into is necessarily explicitly stated in the Word of God. But the principles are there. The principles of faith, the principles of obedience, the principles of grace. But also, praise God, we have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit to guide us. Never in conflict with the Word of God. Never in, if you will, contrary to the Word of God. Always in line with the Word of God to deal with our need at that time. So praying in the Holy Spirit is where the Spirit guides us in our praying according to God's Word and will. The Holy Spirit strengthens and encourages us in our praying. We need that. I need that, don't you? To be encouraged and strengthened in our prayers. Yes. The Holy Spirit also intercedes on our behalf. Like it says there in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit, when we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf when we don't know how to pray for someone or something. Have you ever prayed that situation, you know? And you're praying for your children, or your grandchildren, or someone else, maybe a friend. And you know so little about what they're going through, but you know they're going through a very difficult time. Maybe something physical, and you don't know exactly what it is. Maybe something financial, maybe something spiritual, maybe something relational too in their marriage or in their family. But you don't know everything. And yet the Holy Spirit will pray with your spirit, with our spirit, and He will intercede for us. And that's what it also means to pray in the Spirit. So He prays in accordance with the will of God concerning that loved one, that friend, that circumstance, that situation. Sort of like the young fellow who took the test in geography. And it was all the states and all the capitals. He did the best he could. Didn't really study a whole lot the night before. Could have, but he didn't. Took the test. And then he prayed after the test. Oh Lord, bless the test that I give. And please, please, make Portland the capital of Maine. But you know, when you and I are praying in the Spirit, in accordance with God's will, the Holy Spirit will intercede with our spirits. But sometimes we must admit we don't really know how to pray for others. And what's more. Sometimes have you experienced it where you really don't know how to pray for yourself? You know something's wrong? You know something is just right? Have you been there? Then you pray. You're praying in the name of Jesus.
pray in the Spirit. And after you pour out your heart, not knowing everything that's going on in your life, but God knows, your Father knows. And when you get up from your knees, there's such a peace that you can't explain. But you know that God heard. Your Father cares. And He's going to answer that prayer. Amen.
Pray in the Spirit. Seek, when we seek the hope to glorify Jesus Christ for our prayers and the answers to them. Pray in the Spirit also draws us closer and deeper into the Lord as we commune with Him in prayer. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. It's not some emotional, sad thing, but it's something that is real. Deep in your heart and soul, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, your Father has heard, your Father cares, that your Father loves you. We can pray with assurance and confidence as we continue to unpack just what it will give for prayer through Jesus Christ. We can pray with assurance and confidence. God tells us, just call upon me and I will answer you. Boy, that's a great, great promise, isn't it? Jeremiah 33. Great. God's telephone number, right? No. Okay. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Again, in Romans chapter 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. For all of us. He gave Jesus his greatest gift of all. That you and I can come into a relationship with God, not only as our Creator, but now as our Abba, our Father. And we can cry, Father in heaven, in Jesus' name I come before you. Father in heaven, I'm praying in accordance with the leading and according to your Spirit's guidance in what in my heart, I'm praying with assurance and confidence, knowing that He will not. Will He not also graciously give us all things? Take a look at Hebrews chapter 7. But He, Jesus Christ, holds His priesthood permanently. Not changed. Every time the high priest would die, well, a new one would have to be elected and voted in. No, because He lives forever. He continues forever. Consequently, He is able to save us to the uttermost. Those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Our Heavenly Father, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, the Comforter and Guide, the Holy Spirit, they all want us to know that you and I can pray with assurance and with confidence. For we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the Spirit. We pray as God has instructed us. Pray with absolute certainty that God hears. Take a look at the passage next. Because not only is it about assurance, but again it's about confidence. And that's 1 John chapter 5. One of my favorite passages. It's so important for us to have assurance. It really is. If you think that it would be good for a parent to leave their children or child in a state of doubt about their parents' acceptance, about their parents' love, about their parents' care. Would you think that is really being a parent? No. And yet we know in this world there are so many kids that grow up in a family like that. So totally dysfunctional where children begin to doubt. Do my mom and dad really care for me? Do my mom and dad really love me?
Do my mom and dad really understand what I mean? But our Heavenly Father, will never, never be like that. He wants you and I, as his children, his sons and daughters of Christ, to have every bit of assurance and confidence in our relationship as well as in our family. Take a look at 1 John, 1 John chapter 5. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Simply stated. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not saved. You don't have eternal life. But if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a positive trust of this passage. It's not a negative trust, if you will. It's a positive trust of assurance and confidence. That if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you do have eternal life. You do have a relationship with Him. And it goes on. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have for Him. Take a look at what He says. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Wow. What assurance. What confidence. That not only has to do with the walk of our lives here in this world on this side of heaven, but it also has everything to do with our prayer life too. We have assurance and confidence in our prayers because of the teachings of Christ on prayer. Remember the model prayer, our Father who is in heaven. That's the model. But it's a great prayer for us to start out with. And it's a great prayer to teach our children and our grandchildren. Instead of, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Instead of that, teach them the Lord's model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. We have great assurance and confidence in prayer because of Christ's teaching on prayer. And it wasn't just a model, but He also told us about the motive for our prayers. He also taught about the supernatural means of our prayer. Yes, we have assurance and confidence because of the teachings of Christ in our prayer, but we also have assurance and confidence because of the sacrifice of Christ making our prayers possible. We have the assurance and confidence in prayer because of the priesthood and intercession of Christ on our behalf before the throne of God. We have assurance and confidence in our prayers because of the promise of God in His Word. He cares. He hears. He answers. Yes, in accordance with His will. Do you want Him to answer your prayers solely on the basis of your will? Have you found that when you began to pray for something you really, really wanted? I mean, you wanted so bad to taste it, you know what I mean? And you prayed. And you prayed. And you never got it. Did God not answer your prayer? Yes, He answered your prayer in accordance with His will. You see, answered prayer doesn't always mean yes. Some of the great answers that God has given to the prayers of His children say no. No, because you can't handle that. No, because that will distract you from me. No, because that person in your life will destroy you. You don't understand that now. No, because I have something better for you. Amen. God answers our prayers. Sometimes it's yes. And our hands go up, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Sometimes it's no. I'm not going to pray anymore. But you know, sometimes He also says, not now. Not now.
something else we unpack the gift of prayer through Christ. Prayer is a part of God's sovereign will and providence in the lives of others. Take a look, if you will, at passages there that explain that, or if you will, illuminate that thought. That prayer is a part of God's will and providence in the lives of others. Peter was in a Roman jail. He didn't have a lawyer. A Roman lawyer, that is. He had an advocate lawyer, Jesus Christ, the righteous one there before the throne of God, according to 1 John chapter 2. But Peter was in jail. And he was kept in prison there. But earnest prayer for him was made made to God by the church. And then Peter was delivered. Again, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, He delivered us from such deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer. Paul's incorporating, if you will, he's inviting, he's encouraging, he's even instructing other Christians to pray for him and with him. Because why? Because our prayers are part of God's sovereign will and providence in the lives of others. Yes, our spouses. Yes, our family. Yes, our church family. Yes, our community. Our prayers, God has ordained, will be a part of His sovereign will and His providence in the lives of others. It was true for Peter there in prison. And the church prayed earnestly, and Peter was delivered. And Paul, going through hardships and difficulties, says, and I ask you to pray for me. Take a look, if you will. He says, you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks to on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. And then again in James chapter 5, verse 14, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. I have heard, and sometimes a thought has gone through my mind, and maybe it's gone through your mind too, with regard to prayer. We believe that God is sovereign. Do you believe that God is sovereign?
Amen.
Do you believe that in His sovereignty, He has everything under control? Amen? Well, that's clearly what sovereignty means, okay? And if God is sovereign, and if God is sovereign, He's all sovereign, and He knows what He's going to do because He's all-knowing, He knows the end from the very beginning,
why pray?
Have you ever heard that?
I have.
Have you ever thought that? Yeah, sometimes I did when I was a young believer. Why pray if He knows everything and He's in absolute control?
Well, because He has ordained His purpose in His sovereign will that His children will come to Him in prayer. And that's why as we unpackage the gift of prayer that we have in Jesus Christ, prayer is participating in the sovereign will and the providence of God in the lives of others. Do you realize that there has never been a greater gospel movement? There has never been a revival. There has never been a greater awakening. There has never been a refreshing in the life, the personal life of a Christian or a church or a nation that has not been preceded or ushered in by prayer. Wade Carey, who is often called the father of modern day missions, in one of his writings he said, you know, there has never been a movement of God's great gospel in the world and anywhere in the world except on the basis of prayer. We know this is true because we pray for our missionaries. Amen? And we know this is true because we pray for our neighbors. Amen? We know this is true because we pray for our family. We pray for our marriages. We pray for our church family. Why? Because God really believes in prayer, and He wants you and I to believe in it. The greatest gift in all the world is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we have these great gifts of grace. There is an imperative for the Christian and the church to use all that we have in Jesus Christ for His glory and for our growth in Him.
How's your prayer life? Is it faltering?
Is it stagnant? Or maybe it's stopped?
But I pray anything this morning for all of us, myself included. My prayer is that this gift of prayer of Jesus Christ will become so fresh and vibrant and even renewed in our life, individually, in our marriages.
We pray together with your wife and your husband.
In our families.
We pray together with your children.
In our church family. Do we pray together? Not just Sunday. But have a bunch of nothing. Nothing. Nothing great accomplished by God for His grace and glory has ever been done without receipt of prayers. Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, the indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate, not just once a year, Father. Lord Jesus, we celebrate you every day of our lives and throughout each day. We also indeed open up and exercise and enjoy the gifts we have in you. When you ascended on high and you took captives captive into your grace and into your kingdom, you gave gifts to men and women. Help us, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit and the instruction of your word, to so be refreshed and renewed in this gift of prayer for your glory and for our growth. In Jesus' name, amen.